God, reading His Word this morning. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and His disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So is God's word for us this morning. Couple questions to start out this morning. How are you at stepping out, stepping away from the crowd when that is the right thing to do? Another question. How are you at stepping up, not away this time, but stepping up when for a new and good experience, but it's going to take some energy and it's going to require some change? I was thinking about these questions for myself as I was working on this, and I would say stepping out, especially in high school, stepping out away from the crowd, the majority, when it would be the right thing to do, was not always so a strong point for me. I was thinking back to those years, and I was one of the few in our small school who never got a discipline hour, a detention, but that doesn't mean I wasn't following the crowd, but I was pretty good at hiding it. No, peer pressure and staying in the crowd, and sometimes a crowd that wasn't so good, it was a struggle for me. I've grown a lot in that area, but there's definitely room for growth still. Stepping up for new and, I think, good experience. I've done a little bit better at that, and I think that's grown more on me over time. I like new experiences. I like to be vulnerable, maybe even naive at times if it's going to bring something, some new experience for me. Let's talk about Bartimaeus a bit here. Bartimaeus definitely was one who stepped up and stepped away. Let me try to present some evidence to just back up what I'm saying. So the context of this passage, Jesus and his disciples have now come from the direction, the north of Galilee and Samaria, and they're now east of Jerusalem in Jericho, which is about 15 miles east, a little bit north and east of Jerusalem in Jericho. And so they're close to where we know Jesus was ultimately crucified and rose from the grave. And that was to happen really in a matter of days. They were on their way to Jerusalem. So you can imagine 15 miles away, and there were crowds of people with him. This was a politically charged time for sure. Politically charged. People knew this Jesus. They knew what was going on, what he stood for. And then here's this Bartimaeus. I'm establishing why I think he steps out and away. Here's this Bartimaeus yelling out to him, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So David, certainly probably the most popular, prominent forefather of all of the Jewish people. And this, and so, yeah, David, great name. But to say, Jesus, Son of David, if we would like to say for today, we understand these terms, very politically incorrect of this Bartimaeus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. For this man to be calling Jesus the Son of David, that kind of means the Messiah, the one that we've been waiting for. Yeah, some believe that. But many, especially the powers to be, the powers in place, didn't accept that at all. Bartimaeus steps out and away. It goes on. Jesus asks him a very thoughtful question, again establishing how he steps out and away. Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" So that's a very thoughtful question that really requires a certain response to get the right action from Jesus, I think. And Bartimaeus, he gives a very profound response. He doesn't maybe give an answer that has low expectations, you know, that's a little bit of a wimpy answer. "Well, please, Lord, bless me." No, Bartimaeus's his answer is the one right answer. And it sets the expectations high. It's like an all or nothing. "I want to be healed. Rabbi, I want to see." My goodness, all or nothing. It either happens or it doesn't. And what do you do then if it doesn't happen? Bartimaeus steps out and away from the crowd in just a few different ways that we just pointed out. Why? Why would he do such a thing? Well, quite simply, the reward, seeing, was worth the cost. The cost of rebuke, of suspicion, of people telling him to be quiet. The reward was worth the cost. No brainer. Bartimaeus, we would say, was a needy one. Bartimaeus was a needy person who had big needs. And he found the one with the answers. No brainer. It was worth it for him. The rewards were worth the cost. A question for us, for you this morning. In relation to God, how needy do you see yourself? So let's just talk about that a little bit. Because I know a lot of times we don't like to be a needy person, right? That's other people. That's the people we send money to. We're the ones with all the stuff, right? They're the needy ones. Oh, that's a shift, isn't it? In relation to God, how needy do you see yourself? So I drive here this morning about 15 miles into church from where, and it's all farm ground. Farmers, I know there's a lot of farmers. How needy really are we in relation to God? Maybe to the most extreme level, right? Don't worry, needy is a good word today, okay? needy is a good thing. Let's talk about it a little bit more. We who have so many things, yes, we are insurance to the max. We get sick, hey, we're probably covered. We're going to be okay. Sometimes it's hard to pull those layers back. How needy are we really? Or do we see ourselves in relation to God. We can get sick like that. At Smithfield in Sioux Falls, where I'm the chaplain, a lot got sick with COVID, probably 1,400. Probably about only 15 went to the intensive care, and about three have died, but there are probably about five that I know of that will have, they're still dragging oxygen around for 7, 8 months, 9 months later, got sick maybe in May or April. Sometimes we forget how needy we really are, how bad things can get. A disease maybe happens to us and, we get help on paying those bills maybe, what if we have different things, but wow, God, we need you. How needy are we really? Well, let's just think about why we're here this morning, because we know sin is a problem. And we know God gives the answer. You take that answer away and wow, we'd be, that need would be all the more clear because we wouldn't know how to have that met. Bartimaeus was a needy one, which was all the more reason when he realized that he boldly stepped out. So in relation to God, we are needy. How much do we see ourselves that way is the question. And how vulnerable are you then? Are we willing to be? How vulnerable are we willing to be before God in receiving that help? These are all really important how we answer these things as we go on in our message in a bit. How vulnerable are we in receiving help, in saying, God, I need help. Without your rain and your sun, I don't care how awesome those little seeds are and the genetics in those seeds, and as drought tolerant as they are, it's amazing. But without your rain and your sun, we're lost. Right? We know that. How much trust are you then willing to have? How much trust are you willing to have? Is it kind of a, I'm going to put it all in God or nothing? Like Bartimaeus, he didn't say, what if God doesn't do this? Okay, Jesus, bless me however you want. No, I know you can do it, God, so I want to see. You see? Those answers to those questions say how much we will step out and away from the crowd where it's sometimes safer. Those answers that we give to those questions I ask, how needy do you see yourself? How vulnerable, though, are you willing to be? How much do you trust? Those answers, they tell how much we step out, but they also directly correspond to this other question I asked at the beginning. How are you at stepping up? This is more like I like to say the faith question. Stepping up to a new and powerful experience. And in this passage, stepping up and following Jesus. Let's talk about a few different figures from the Bible and we come back to ourselves. So at the end of this passage, Bartimaeus followed, he stepped up and followed Jesus along the road. Now I don't want to make too much of this really, because we never read about Bartimaeus again, okay? This is the only passage where even his name is. Luke and Matthew do touch on a story very similar, probably is about Bartimaeus, but we don't see their name there, all right? So Bartimaeus, it says, follows Jesus. I really don't know what that meant. This is right before the crowds, then Bethphage and Bethany, and the crowds were laying palm branches, and we know a lot of them were really noisy. Hosanna! Probably some of those who were at the cross screaming to have him crucified, right? But usually when something pretty profound happens in someone's life, when they step out because he heals, I think we can assume Bartimaeus following means a lot. He followed Jesus on. But we don't know for sure. But let's talk about some who did, who had equally profound things happen in their lives as they stepped out. Mary Magdalene, one who Jesus healed, it says, seven demons from. Mary Magdalene was willing, of course, then to step out and to step up in faith. She was one who was at the cross of Jesus, maybe a matter of days, maybe a week or two. We don't know how much longer from now, from Jericho to Jerusalem. She was at the cross, and we know even 3 days later, she was one who was to prepare the body at the tomb of Jesus. I mean, my goodness, this guy healed me of seven demons. She was needy. Of course she was at the cross, at the tomb. I think of Peter. Simon Peter was one kind of early on in the 3 years of ministry with Jesus, where Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said something pretty amazing. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, if Peter really believed that, that's basically saying you are the Christ, the Messiah, the one who was long promised. You are the Son of the living God. If Peter believed that fully, and I know he was coming to it, he wasn't all there yet, he denied Jesus, those things. He was willing to step, but we know ultimately he too became a martyr on behalf of Jesus, on behalf of the faith. Peter, who stepped out as he saw who Jesus was willing to step up and follow even to, ultimately, tradition says, a cross himself. Let's talk about Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Martha and Mary, they saw their brother to be raised, but before that, Jesus says to them in John 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." In that same time of conversation, Jesus goes on and raises their brother Lazarus to life. You don't think these sisters and brother would walk with Jesus, step up and walk with him to the end and even into eternal life? You bet they did. No problem. We can think of many different examples. These all describe a relationship like many where they were blessed. They were blessed by stepping out and boldly and letting him meet their needs. And the more they let them, they were vulnerable and they let them meet their needs, those broken ones, us broken ones. Oh, all the more they stepped up and they grew. And this kind of becomes a cycle. I'll even say a word that could get us in trouble unless we explain it. It's kind of transactional relationship, isn't it? Maybe do all our relationships start that way? Kind of, right? We go out with somebody because they give us something back. We feel it. If we're giving everything and they aren't giving back, well, it's not going to go on. And what's transactional maybe in human relationships, like with God, it's a little bit that way. We step out and we see what he's doing for us. And as he keeps giving, as we're willing to trust and be vulnerable, then over time we start to step up more and more. How could we not? This guy gives us life. He meets our needs. If we stop that, if we're not willing to trust, we're going to be really short-circuiting it all. We're going to be way back there. As we're needy, as we're vulnerable, as we realize these things, then we step up more. We step up more and there's more passion. There's more emotion. How could I not? The guy gives me life. God gives me life. And as image bearers, then we start to develop this need for purpose and fulfillment. He gives me life. I need to be here worshiping God. I need to be in His Word. This is food. This is a living Word. It changes me. And this what's transactional becomes a wonderful relationship. As I just read in a book recently, what was conversational at first starts to become communion. And then as we let God do His work, union with Him, one with God. We're His partners. We're working the fields with Him that He owns. In closing, again, how about us? How about us? How needy do we realize that we are? Again, needy is okay. It's an okay word. Then, how much trust are we willing to have? Then, how much love and glory are we interested in directing to our giver of life, our Savior, our wonderful counselor, our God? Let's come to Him in prayer. Our God, You are the giver of life. You're the giver of everything, if we really think about it. You're the giver of our hope. We all admit we oftentimes, God, take things for granted. And we're sorry about that. We're sorry about that because it doesn't bring You the glory You deserve, and it really shortcuts our walk with You. Holy Spirit, work and counsel within us. Remind us of all that You give in all the areas of life so that we again completely turn to You and give all to You, our praise and our commitment. And then as You work within us and we step up to join You in the work, because how could we not? We find our fulfillment, our purpose in You. Bless that part of this journey as well. We do lift up our pastor, Jeremy, and ask that You would bring healing upon him. We're thankful for he as the under-shepherd here in the pastor, and just bless him and bring him back to us soon. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.